from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. Federal investigators are almost done examining the crash site where Asiana Flight 214 hit the seawall and damaged a runway at San Francisco International Airport nearly a week ago. The runway is one of four at the airport and remains closed at this point as officials finish documenting the crash scene. Airport officials hope to reopen that runway and return to normal operation in the next few days, offering some relief to summer travelers caught up in delays brought about by the closure. The mayor of San Diego is apologizing for his behavior after being accused of sexual harassment and urged to resign. Mayor Bob Filner called his own behavior inappropriate and wrong, saying he failed to respect women who work for him and intimidated them at times. A former councilwoman, Donna Fry, said the allegations were based on firsthand accounts, and she called on the mayor to step down. Mayor Filner pleaded with voters for patience. The largest inmate hunger strike in state history is now official. Yesterday, corrections officials confirmed that more than 12,000 inmates have refused meals since Monday. They're protesting long-term isolation in special security units, where some inmates have been held for decades, allegedly for ties to prison gangs. Leaders of the protest are demanding the department set strict limits on the amount of time prisoners are held in isolation, but the corrections officials say they're already working to move some prisoners out to the main line. Michael Montgomery has more in this final installment of our special series with the Center for Investigative Reporting.
In a classroom at a state prison in Corcoran, deep in California's Central Valley, 14 inmates are sitting around me in a semicircle. The men seem relaxed and animated, but many of the faces are washed out, the result of years in windowless lockup units.
Have you ever seen that cartoon where a little mouse comes out of a hole and you just, like, all disoriented? That's how we feel right now, you know.
That's Sergio. Like all the men here, he asked that I only use his first name out of concern that other inmates might retaliate. Sergio is 53 and is originally from Southern California. He spent a total of 21 years in isolation, mainly at Pelican Bay State Prison in Crescent City.
I'm still trying to figure out how to associate with people. It's all kind of strange, you know, but it's going to take a little while to get used to it.
Being in the cell by yourself, but all that time, if you're not doing nothing, your mind's going to start playing games on you.
George spent a total of 17 years in special security units, also mostly at Pelican Bay.
You need to occupy your time. You need to do something creative. You need to feel good about yourself, because if you don't, it's like falling off an airplane without a parachute.
The men here are part of a new program that is moving inmates no longer considered a threat to prison security out of stark isolation units and into regular prisons. Here, for the first time in years, they can exercise, unshackled, and in the open air with other inmates.
You smell freedom. Even though we're on the main line, you still smell freedom.
I mean, even though there's concrete walls?
It doesn't matter, because these concrete walls are further apart. In a bay, there's only 20-foot walls is all you see. So you're in a large box. Here, you don't see the walls.
Two of the men, David and Daniel, walk with me in the yard across a scruffy lawn under a scorching late morning sun.
If you put a dog in a cage, that's all it knows. But once you open that cage and let him out in the backyard, he will not see that little cage, because that cage does not exist.
Back in the prison classroom, the men reflect on some of their new freedoms, like phone calls. An inmate named Armando says calling home for the first time in years can lead to confusion.
Some of us call the house and the family says, "Who is this?" They can't believe it's you, and they think you're playing a trick on them. Some people won't even accept the call because they think they're kidding.
But what stands out above all is human touch. Daniel recalls a recent meeting with his family in the visitor's room.
Memorable, amazing, tender. All the emotions that you thought were not there resurface.
How long had it been since you held hands with your mom?
Over, 14 years. And my sister's, 20.
You know, it'd be great if we didn't have to have security housing units at all.
That's Kelly Harrington, an associate director in the Department of Corrections. He's played a key role in reassessing policies that govern who gets placed in the security lockups and for how long. He says the units are necessary to control violent prison gangs, but under the department's new rules, inmates have an opportunity to earn their way out through good behavior and participating in special programs.
And when you're on a general population facility, you get the access to those enhanced privileges, contact visits, actually going to school, going out to a yard program. So that is the goal, and hopefully the men that are in the security housing units will see that as a incentive to go out.
But the new effort is already facing challenges. Many inmates still held in isolation say they don't trust the department and are refusing to take the steps needed to qualify for a transfer. And leaders of the hunger strike that began this week at Pelican Bay say the changes don't go nearly far enough. What's more, Alex, an inmate who spent a total of 17 years in isolation before being transferred here, says the promised education and work opportunities are few and far between.
It may be better than the Bay, but we're still being warehoused because we have nothing to do. I think they need to put us in some types of vocations, work, get us work, keep us occupied.
So far, the Department of Corrections reports 200 men have either been transferred or approved for transfer, and there have been no reports of disciplinary problems. But the effort is now on hold as the department grapples with the hunger strike that has now spread to 24 facilities statewide. For the California Report, I'm Michael Montgomery.
Our story was produced in collaboration with the Center for Investigative Reporting. You can hear all three of Michael's stories and see photos of Pelican Bay inmates. Follow the links on our website at californiareport.org. Also available at the website is our podcast. Look for the big orange button at californiareport.org. And, of course, we're available through iTunes. That's the California Report for Friday, July 12th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller and Howard Gelman. The directors are Paul Ancour and Vinnie Tong. Our interns are Carly Naren and Rachel Marcus. The editing staff includes Dan Brecky, Cy Musiker, and Kat Snow. Our producers are Nina Thorson and Susie Racho. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children, and URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com.